Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast. My guest today is very familiar to all you. Brian Kite from Focus 3 joins us. Brian, great to talk to you here in 2019. It's been a while.
It's been a while, and this is a conversation I always look forward to, and I'm glad to be here and super fired up for all the things that we've got coming and happening in 2019.
Absolutely, and we're going to get into some of those things and share with our listeners what you have going on at National Conference, also talk a little bit about our virtual training that we've partnered with you on. And, you know, I think when we look at this time of the year, Brian, it's an exciting time. I mean, for the football guys out there who are interested in what's happening in the coaching world, and that's really gone beyond just the college and the pros now. There's the high schools on there. Everybody's watching Football Scoop, and they do a great job in talking about the changes and showing coach introductions and talking about what these guys are going to do as part of their culture. And I think that's really where a lot of the programs are at. They're getting into their 2019 season. They've maybe made some of the, we talked about macro and micro adjustments. So they've probably made some of those macro adjustments now, and they're ready to install those with their players. They're ready to get into their culture playbook and start building their 2019 team. So I think all of those things are exciting, and watching those. As you look at everything happening right now, what kind of things have grabbed your attention in that space?
Here's two conversations I've been having a lot recently. You know, we talked, I think it was towards the beginning of the season, Keith, on one of the Leadership Journey episodes about building culture, being maniacal, being intolerant, and being loving. Mm-hmm. That to build a great culture, it's all about being a, you know, maniacal, being a true maniac about your culture, being intolerant of things that don't fit and align with your culture and don't meet your standards, and doing that in a loving way where you build deep, strong relationships that are rooted in caring about people, investing in people, and having them invest back in you. And that if you split those three things up, bad things happen, right? But if you're all loving, but you tolerate less than behavior, we give people 11 chances, and we use our care for somebody to keep them around for too long or allow them to negatively impact others. If you're intolerant and maniacal, but you don't have loving, you're just a dictator who, you know, creates fear in people and doesn't build good relationships. You know, now that we're at the end of the season, you know, what I think is really, really, it's great to be able to watch this. And I, for whatever reason, Keith, my observation is that, and this is going to blend into the second thing I see. My observation is, despite the fact that this is being said so often, and matched with things outside of the coaching realm, right? People say, be yourself. People say, you know, don't try to mimic and copy other people. And, you know, all these different things. These are kind of truths that have been shared around outside of even just the football space. But you say the word maniacal, you say the word intolerant, and in the coaching community, Keith, one of the things I see is coaches have a pattern of looking at other successful coaches, and rather than try to look at what are the systems and structures that those coaches have that are not unique to their personality, but they are, you know, structural approaches that I want to bring my personality and style and approach into, is still to this day, too often coaches look at other successful coaches and then believe that because that coach is successful or was successful and then said or did this thing, that that's what it takes to be a successful coach. You have to be blank. And the terms are these recycled things that get used all the time. What's hitting me right now, Keith, is look at the, let's just take three coaches who a lot of people look at and then a lot of people emulate because of their success. Let's look at Saban, let's look at Dabo, and let's look at Belichick. Mm-hmm. Style-wise, are those three coaches similar in style?
No, I don't think they
personality.
Different in personality, too.
Different in style, different in personality. Are their cultures in their programs the same?
No. I think there's similarities, but no, overall, they're different.
Sure. No. And in this, do you think people who love the culture that Dabo has created and Dabo's style and approach, do you think those people are going to go over to, say, Saban's culture or Belichick's culture, and they're going to love Saban and Belichick's culture and working and operating and playing there just as much as they're going to love working at Dabo's? Do you think people who are attracted to the culture that Dabo Swinney has built in Clemson are going to be equally attracted to Saban or at Alabama or Belichick in New England?
No, I don't think so. And I think that's a little bit of what you see in recruiting, right? Is you got to find the guys who are the right fit for your program. And it's not just the athletic skill sets. It is their personality and how it fits into your culture.
Yes, exactly. So would you also agree, though, that, you know, and this is my language, would you also agree that while Dabo and Saban and Belichick are all different, that they're all maniacs about their culture?
They are, absolutely.
Yeah, about theirs, right? About theirs. And they're all intolerant of things that don't fit their culture. Interestingly enough, there are things inside of Nick Saban's culture that he would be intolerant of that Dabo Swinney in his culture is trying to create a lot more of.
100%.
Do you notice that?
Yep.
That the very things that Dabo might say, look, we're intolerant of that, Saban is trying to grow it because his culture is built around more of that for whatever reason. And so what's really hitting me just in observation is different than what is sold to people a lot. And I think this goes into my second comment, which is going to be a comment about some of the information shared on social media or Twitter or videos or any other places. But it doesn't really matter what your style or approach is when you compare it to, are you all in on the approach that you are taking? I genuinely believe, Keith, I genuinely believe too many people try to copy a Dabo, or they're attaching to surface level things with Dabo or Saban or Belichick. And it's like seeing somebody ultra successful and then trying to buy the same clothes as them. it's not the clothes. It's not, oh, I have the same car. No, it's not the car. It's what's happening on the inside. It is the internal commitment. It's the internal and personal discipline to stay locked in on who you are and to eradicate everything that you aren't. And I think that's the only reason that Belichick became Belichick. I genuinely do. So for a lot of coaches out there, when they're thinking of the macro stuff, you know, I think the first piece to look at is not what other coaches are doing. I think the first piece to look at is, what do I want to do? What do I think wins? Because look, I appreciate this because I don't know that I'm not innately attracted, personally, I'm not innately attracted to Dabo's culture or innately attracted to Saban's culture. And I think there's elements of both, obviously, that work. But in terms of just my personal style, neither one of those cultures are ones that I look at and say, now that's the place that I really want to be. There's things about each one of those that I think aren't quite exact fits for me, whether it be like as a player or as a coach or otherwise. There's elements about both of them that don't quite match and fit with me. And I have a deep, deep, deep appreciation for the cultures that they've built because they're not asking themselves whether or not Brian Kite likes the culture that they're building. They're not asking themselves that. They don't care. They're not asking whether or not each other approves of their cultures. They don't care. They are looking and saying, what do I want to do? What am I willing to win and lose on myself? And I appreciate that because Dabo decided to build his culture real heavy on love, positive attitude, you know, things that some people find kind of a level of cheesiness, right? And, you know, he kind of even leans into some of that cheesiness with his catchphrases and his acronyms and all that different stuff and how he looks on camera. And he kind of leaned into that kind of, you know, goofy white guy kind of approach thing. Like, he leans all the way into that. And, like, I would try to imagine Saban doing any version of that, and, like, I feel like his head would explode. Right? But then I see other people trying to do the same thing, and they're trying to do that Dabo, and it's not who they are.
No.
Or they're only copying the surface level. They're coming up with the phrases, but they're not intolerant the way that Dabo is about being that person every single day. They're doing surface level stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes to the second piece, and that is this. Second piece is this. As much as I appreciate it, man, there is so much noise right now in the coaching community of people telling people how to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much noise, and a lot of it comes from, you know, motivational speakers. And honestly, Keith, a lot of it is coming from other coaches. And they pull up a quote, and they pull up a phrase, and they say this, you know, every great coach I've ever known does this. No, not every great coach does that. There's a lot of great coaches who never did that, whatever that is. You know, just there's a lot of stuff being shared that's just like, you know, it's talk, right? It's promotion of something that isn't really locked in completely true. It's just a noisy world. And I'm just seeing a lot of coaches engaging in that kind of activity on social media now, where they're just kind of caught up in the echo chamber of sharing messages that have been shared for a long time that, you know, they're nothing more than a motivational quote.
Mm-hmm.
And man, time would just be much more well spent, you know, doing other things. And I don't, you know, it's not really a big, I guess the reason I share that is because, you know, anytime something starts to gain popularity and starts to gain, you know, I'm talking about social media here, but you know, it starts to happen, you know, it's really easy to fall into a kind of an autopilot trap on things. And it's really easy to get kind of caught up in the quotes and the sharing of messages and feeling like our stuff is, you know, profound and insightful. And, you know, before you know it, there's messages that you're absorbing that just aren't that true. And they don't really last and matter. And so I guess that's just another thing I'm seeing here in the off season is, man, there's a lot of talk.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there's a lot of people who are, you know, haven't produced a ton, and boy, they've got some real deep insight into where elite success comes from. And it just creates a lot of noise that's tough to navigate through.
Yeah, as I'm sitting and listening to this, this is certainly not anything new. I think now it gets amplified by social media. And just a quick kind of funny story, this exact type of thing. This is years back, and the head coach I was working for, we were at AFCA, and he had the opportunity to see Mark D'Antonio speak, and Mark D'Antonio was talking about his culture and the things they do, and he loved it. He was fired up about it, and we have our first, you know, team meeting of the year. It was either the next week or later that week when we were back, and all of a sudden, he's up there, and he was literally Mark D'Antonio. And I remember one of my players leaning into me and saying, "Coach, what's going on? What's up with Coach today?" I said, don't worry. He's just being Mark D'Antonio now. He'll be back to himself by the next meeting. And we kind of laughed because Coach would get fired up about those things. And he would, you know, immediately want to go out and do those things and implement them and not really get deep into the why and the how behind it and get all fired up, and he'd come back and share that, and then he would settle into who he was again. And he was good at who he was. He really was. It fit him. It really fit the players he had brought into the program, and, you know, those kids seeing just something distinctly different, like what's going on with Coach today, was very evident. And I think when I look at the approach to taking this kind of information, and it's okay to get fired up and you learn a new idea, but you have to be careful, I think, with what you're going to do in that macro change approach. I relate it to looking at a new scheme or concept. There was, you know, God, it's over a decade now, but I wanted to implement the stretch play. I felt it would be good for our team. I thought we had the guys who fit well. But before I did that, instead of just saying, hey, we're going to run the stretch, I spent months with my staff going and learning from other coaches, understanding how they do it, and going into just the stretch play. There were so many different distinctions about what that play could be and how it could be taught and how it fit with other things. We had to settle on which one really fits us, what works for us, what fits best for our guys, what fits best for us as coaches. And that's how we crafted how we were going to run that particular play. And I don't think it's anything different with the mechanics of how you're going to implement one of those macro changes or ideas into your program with the culture side of things. Because what you have to remember that Dabo or Belichick or Saban didn't implement this stuff yesterday, that this has grown with them over time. Who they've become has mm-hmm. been, there's been all the trials and errors, there's been the failures, there's been the things they've learned along the way from other people that they've brought in, that this just didn't happen overnight and said, we're doing this now. So you have to, I think, take that kind of approach to not just the X's and O's, but how you install culture as well.
And, you know, I have a deep appreciation for this because as most of the audience probably knows, but not everyone will, you know, athletics is not where we do the majority of our work as a business. I'm the CEO of a company who works with, you know, we work with global 2000 companies. We work with school districts all across America. We work with entrepreneurs. So from a pure volume perspective, you know, athletics is one piece and it's not the majority of where our work is. So I see this in a lot of other places, but even outside of work, Keith, how long have human beings struggled to confidently be who they are versus trying to copy what looks good or what you're supposed to have? Forever, throughout all of human history, that's been a struggle. I mean, look at it today, look at it outside, just step outside of the football coaching lens and look how many people buy cars to gain the approval of others, because that's the sign of what rich people do. Or look how many people are in real estate only because some other rich person was in real estate. Or look how many people, you know, need to have certain shoes because, you know, somebody else who did something has certain shoes and that's what's cool. Or, you know, pick your thing. Look how many people parent because and do certain things in raising their kids because some other moms who look like they've got everything together, you saw them do that. Oh, that's what some good moms I see do, so I'm going to do that. But it's really not your style. It's really not your approach. It's not how you want to do it. So I see this in lots of places, Keith, outside of athletics. And then I look at it in athletics and I say, oh, okay, great. You know, this is where what I would hope for every coach, what I would hope is you win and lose on your terms. That's what I would hope. I hope you win and lose on your terms. And it's about being a maniac about the standards you think are important. Look, if you want, I just had the conversation. Look, if you, about, you know, take this, right? Wearing hoods in a meeting or in a building. If you want people, or tucking shirts in, go with something like that. If you don't think tucking shirts in is important and you don't mind players wearing hoods, don't set that rule because somebody else did who was successful. If you're not going to be a maniac about it, don't do it. It's not that important. It's not, because you can be super successful with players tucking their shirts in or not tucking their shirts in, wearing hoods in the building and in meetings or not wearing hoods in the building and in meetings. It really doesn't matter. The question is, what are you maniacal about? What standards are you establishing? So you could debate about whether, you know, hoods and tucking your shirts in or touching the line. Like you can debate all that stuff, or you can go pour your energy into the things that you think make all of the difference and don't put energy into the things that you don't think make a difference for your program. You know, there's some programs who, right, attention to detail is huge, right? Like I know at Bob Lattiser at De La Salle, out in NorCal, right? Huge on attention to detail. I mean, to the point where they would practice the first two steps to the offensive line. Like, you know, they would do 30 reps of the first two steps. And then you have Chip Kelly, when he was at Oregon, who did not care about detail hardly at all, because the only thing he was maniacal about was with speed. because his strategy was, we don't have to do as much detail. If we operate faster than everybody else, it leaves margin for error. So I'm going to leave some of the details up to you. You don't really have to pay attention to them, but I'm going to expect you to go harder, faster, and longer at more reps than most other people. Well, which one is true? A detail or a non-detail approach? Which one works?
Depends who you are, right?
Doesn't matter. It just depends who you are. Which one do you want to run? How do you want to operate, right? Like, but if Chip Kelly was a detail guy who in his soul details mattered, he wouldn't be able to run a non-detailed offense. But in Chip Kelly's soul, there's details that matter and there's details that don't. Other people, details matter, period, in their soul. So that's what I look at. It's like, you know, these trends exist even outside of football. And anytime you find something that's true everywhere, man, that's the kind of thing that you can lock onto and you can count on. So you can win or lose anyway. You might as well win or lose based on your terms, being a maniac about stuff you want to be a maniac about, not because somebody else was.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. And I see coaches fail all the time because they take that copy and paste approach. And let's say it's the shirts tucked in thing. They really don't believe it, but they saw someone else doing it. And they put that on their list of things and sell it in a meeting and do all those things. But then when you look at the execution, you see guys walking around and their shirts are untucked or the coach's shirt's untucked because it really didn't matter. And you're not going to be maniacal about it because you really don't believe that's it. So you have to be careful about what you pick and choose to put in there. And when you mentioned shirts being untucked, it reminded me of a podcast I did with a coach. Name is Tim Sauer. He's at Jessup Community School in Iowa.
Yeah.
Good young coach. And I think I tweeted this at you, where he really was intentional and sat down and thought about, what do I really believe? And he narrowed that down to five things. And then with those beliefs, he put together, what are the behaviors that I expect within our program? Shirts untucked was one of the things he mentioned, and he had a whole rationale behind it. He had a why, and he also said, you know, I have to be the model of that. So I will, because I believe this, I'm going to make sure that my shirt is tucked in at all the times. I'm going to be maniacal about my players having their shirts tucked in. And I'm using that one example, but he really thought this out. This is a young coach. I applaud him for taking that approach. He didn't necessarily copy this from anywhere. I'm sure he got ideas from other programs, but was really intentional in sitting down and saying, what do we believe? What's this program going to be about? And what are the behaviors I expect? And he put this together in a nice one page, and five columns down the one side. The acronym was FREAK. Across the top, he had the four areas, which he was essentially expecting his players to model and have the behaviors that supported those beliefs that carry those out. And you know, his expectation is, because they're going to do it this way, because that's what they believe in, that's what they're going to be maniacal about as coaches and players, that the results will come out of that because that's who they are. And I think that's what he did, is a great example of just how you sit down and do some of those things.
Yep. And that's right. That's the thing is, if it doesn't matter to you, don't spend time and effort and energy on it. Just don't. I mean, it's so interesting. I mean, I look at it other places. I mean, I look right now at the number of people who are spending time, effort, and energy on things happening in politics. They know nothing about it. They know nothing about the politics. Other good time, effort, and energy. That doesn't mean that politics don't have an impact on stuff. It just means that you know nothing about it and you're not going to do anything about it. And you hardly know anything you're talking about anyway. You just have a perspective and an opinion based on an extremely limited amount of information. And you're not going to take up the charge and go do the action to make it different than it is. Yet you'll spend a bunch of time on it and want to share those opinions publicly, or, you know, pick your thing, switch it around. People will comment on, you know, a couple across the street about their relationship, and, you know, they don't know a thing about their relationship, but they'll want to go have a comment on it. And people waste their time, Keith, on things that they are not all in on, that don't really matter. 99% of things that people spend their effort, time, and energy on don't matter. what a celebrity said about anything doesn't matter. It doesn't. Who actually won the NFC Championship games? It just doesn't really matter. You know, what some politician said about college football and safety of football, it to a large extent, that stuff just doesn't matter. It's noise. Focus on where you are. Focus on the stuff that matters to you. Affect the lives in your circle. You want to contribute to the game of football? Be an incredible football coach. Be an incredible football coach. That's how we make a difference in this. That's how you secure the future of this game. Be an incredible football coach. Man, that right there is hard enough. And it deserves everything we got. Because that's your job. And for a lot of people, you know, this is true for me. And I think for a lot of people in the sport of football, it's more than a job. It's a calling. In fact, it's where the word calling, it's interesting. The word calling comes from a Latin word, vocare, V-O-C-A-R-E. And that's where we get the term vocation, right? Which is, you know, what's your vocation? You go to vocational school, it's your job, right? But the word vocation literally means the calling. It means the work that you are called to. And for a lot of football coaches, this is not something they just fell into, for some. But for most football coaches, I believe what I hear in the conversations I have, what I see, is it's more than a game. Right? It's the power of football. And it's a calling. And anything that you're called to is more than just something we're signing up for a paycheck. If you've coached a single season, you know the difference between working for a paycheck and, you know, the look in one of those players' eyes who makes one of those breakthroughs. And we've talked about these things before, or the emotional feeling of a championship and a chase of trying to get there. You know, answer that call. Answer that call by being an exceptional best version of you football coach. That's what secures the future of this game. Not politics, not tweeting, not administrative negotiations, not helmets. Safety is going to keep going the direction that safety needs to go and keep working on it. We all know in this game, in this sport, what makes the biggest difference is the impact that you make on other human beings. Families, young men, increasingly young women, which is exciting, communities, and that is personal in nature. And that's obviously why we want to contribute to the sport in the way that we do, you know, through leadership, culture, and behavior to amplify and intensify the great qualities of this game that, in my observation, cannot be replicated in any other game on the planet.
Well, I agree with you 100%, Brian, on those things. And that leads me to an opportunity for coaches to help themselves become the best version of themselves. Our national conference, to me, is a very special event. It's unlike any other coaching clinic that you might attend around the country. So not only do we have some incredible X and O speakers, but we have topics like the ones you're going to share. For example, your first one, and I'll read the description here. This is going to be 2:30 on Saturday afternoon. Culture and execution. Culture reached peak popularity status in 2018, but it's still a buzzword term that is often more fuzzy than functional. What is culture? Why does it matter? What are head coach, assistant coach, staff, and player responsibilities in building culture? This session is all about culture, simplified and executed to win. So that's your first topic, Brian. Give us a little preview about what we can expect and take away from that presentation.
Yeah, so that last piece is really what my objective is for this session. Culture simplified and executed. I'm going to go back to the comment I made earlier. What I mean by culture reached peak popularity and buzzword status in 2018 is this. There was more noise than ever in the conversation around culture last year. And I want to cut through the noise. I want to eliminate the 99% noise so that in this session we can focus on the 1% message. What is culture? Why does it have an impact and how? And what's my job? Whether you're a player, a staff member, an assistant coach, a head coach, a teacher, administrator, parent? What's my role? And then how do you actually put it together? You know, tying into the conversation we're having here today, Keith, is how do I build my culture? Not somebody else's culture. How do I build mine? And then what are some of the myths around culture? What are some of the mistakes or pitfalls that people fall into culture? And what are some of the best things that you can do in culture? So this is going to be operationally heavy, and we are going to roll our sleeves up and get into the nitty gritty. Not overly detailed. Again, we're going to keep it simple to go out and execute, but it is going to be concrete what to do and how to do it.
And then on Sunday, BK, you're going to present 11:45 to 12:30, Coaching and Connection. And here's the description we have online. Leadership and coaching is a relationship. It requires connecting with people personally. Connection is the conduit by which staff, players, and parents experience your character and competence. Some coaches who are strong in character and competence struggle to deliver an exceptional leadership experience because they are weak in connection. There is a direct relationship between the level of connection people feel with their coach and the level of effort they are willing to invest.
Yeah, this one's going to be really fun as well. This is getting down into relationships. How do you build them? I will tell you this, Keith. I think more than any other topic, relationships are talked about more than culture among coaches. I don't know if you see the same thing I see, but You know, when it comes to relationships, I think that's the single topic that is more talked about, posted about, quotes laid up than even culture. And, you know, most of it is so shallow that it's not usable, right? Like I appreciate the fact that I'll give you a great one, one that's super popular. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care, right? Like I know that to be true, but how does that help me? Right? Like that doesn't make me better. It kind of tricks me into thinking, oh, I heard that. And so then I kind of throw that quote out there. How? What do I do? Why? What are the mechanics of it? Why does somebody care and not care? And here's a great thing that we're going to focus on in this session. What is caring? Is caring a feeling? Is there an emotion? If I don't like you, can I care about you? If we have different styles, can we care about each other? When is it most important to care about people? Like, these are like the real things that when you've got 60, 70, 80 people on a team and they're rotating over every year, and when you've got staffs full of very different people, quotes don't cut it. So we're going to get in the mechanics of how do you connect with individuals? What's going on in emotions between two different people? What are communication strategies, tactics, techniques for building connections capable of withholding and supporting all the incredibly hard things we have to do in the game of football? Because that's true. The stuff we have to do in this sport, it's hard. I mean, it is really hard. And weak connections are going to cause other things in your program to break. And so we want to make sure that we have strong enough connections to support and sustain all the stuff we're trying to do in the program. So that's what we're going to get after.
Definitely looking forward to seeing you in Orlando, BK, and having you present these things to coaches. Maybe we could hop on a podcast there as well, like we did last year. But it's just an incredible experience. I know I've had other coaches share their experience with the National Conference. It definitely has a different feel than your local or regional clinic. There's just a spirit of working to help each other get better there. The sharing I see there is just incredible between coaches. You have these mini clinics just pop up everywhere. Guys, you know, 3, 4, 5 guys sitting at a table, just talking about their ideas, sharing things, learning from our different speakers. So it's definitely an event that I highly recommend. Go to usafootball.com and find that in events. And also check out our virtual training with Focus 3. BK has put that together for football coaches and offered it to football coaches at a great price. And that's at usafootball.com/Focus 3. BK, as always, it was great to talk with you here about some of the things that are affecting coaches. And as always, I appreciate you and the work you're doing for coaching and for athletics in general.
Yeah, the journey in 2019 is getting kickstarted. I'm already seeing the I always love seeing the videos from teams at this time of year where they're back in the weight rooms. You know, when it feels like the season just ended and the work begins. I think that's one of the cool parts about football, like life, is that every time the cycle ends, the cycle picks right back up again with no particular emotion for what happened last year, because it's done. There's what's in front of you. We don't get to relive last season, and we get to go attack this season for the first time, and I'm ready to do it with you guys.
Coaches, check out our show notes from this podcast. We mentioned a couple other podcasts, which we'll link to, one of BK's, as well as Coach Sauer's What It Means to Be a Freak. And we will include links to the national conference and the virtual training as well. Check that out at blogs.usafootball.com. And follow our new Twitter account for football coaches. It's at FBDEVCoach, at FBDEVCoach. And we share some great things from Play of the Day, links to articles, some of the content that BK provides us. Just an incredible resource for coaches.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.